He was dead. Took some explanation.
Yes. Okay, we begin now Hilchos Nedarim. And we do the little introduction first. And the Rambam says, Yesh b'chlolon shalosh mitzvahs. There's three mitzvahs in Hilchos Nedarim. Shtei mitzvahs aseh, two positive mitzvahs. V'achas mitzvahs los aseh, one negative mitzvah. Zilper, these are the details. Aleph. The positive mitzvah is, Yishmor motzei svasa v'yaseh kamosha nader. You have to guard what comes out of your mouth, and you have to do as you vow. So you basically got to keep your vow on the one hand. Beis, the opposite, shlo yachel dvaro. You may not profane your words by not observing your vow. And number three, sheyafer haneder hashvua. You have there's a mitzvah when applicable to nullify a vow and an oath. V'zeh din haforis nedarim haforis peter shebichsav. And this is the law of nullifying vows, as is explicitly written in the written law. And now we're going to explain the details. Now, again, the basic difference between a shvua that we've been learning the last section of Lachos and a Neder is a shvua is a focus on the person's performance, or what a person is supposed to do. As opposed to a Neder is a person generates an isur on an object. It many times may not be lemaisa any difference in terms of, you know, what the person has to do or not do or towards what, but that's the basic difference, as we will see. Okay, first chapter, first halacha. Haneder nechalok l'shtei machlokos. There are machlokos. There are two different groups of vows, categories, and the commentaries tell us why did the Rambam arrange that Hilchos Nedarim would come after Hilchos Shavuos. And he says, because Shavuos, we already explained, was divided up into four groups, and they're more commonly found, while vows only have two groups and are less commonly found. So first he does the laws of Shavuos, and now he does the laws of Nedarim. Okay, now, what are the two groups of vows? Hachelek HaRishon, and this is the one we're going to be talking about, the first group, who Sheyesor Al Atzmo Dvarim Hamutarim Lo, where the human being prohibits things upon him that otherwise would have been permitted to him. As we will see, that a vow can only come to prohibit something that that is permitted to you, but can't come on something that the Torah already prohibits you. And certainly it can't come to permit it what the Torah prohibits to you. So we will see, kigon. For example, Shiomar, peros, regular fruits, that you're totally allowed to eat fruits. But what do you say? Peros medina plonis, that fruits from a certain country, asur malai, are prohibited to me, kol shloshim yom, 30 days, oli olam, or forever. That's an example of a vow, because fruits are permitted to you, and now you have verbalized that you want them to, that they, there's an isur on the fruits to you. Omin ploni mi perisolim, or a certain species of fruits in the world are auster to you. O perus elu asur malai, or these fruits that are before me are prohibited even forever. Now these are the specific examples. However, the commentary says, what if the guy says, I prohibit upon myself all fruits in the entire world forever? It's not an applicable vow, because a person cannot live without fruits. So it's like a meaningless oath. It's like a shvur shov. So it's got to be something that can happen. Okay, so but that's a general example. There'll be many, many more to come. Also, this type of vow is done bechol lashon she'asor, in any language that the person understands that prohibits upon him. Doesn't matter if it's lashon kodesh or a foreign tongue, as long as you understand it. Harei zeh nasor lahem. These fruits, or whatever he prohibits, is prohibited to him. V'af al pi she'ein shom shvua klal. Even though there's no semblance of an oath, that which is the text of an oath, as we've already discussed, still, harei zeh nasor lahem. They are prohibited to him. I'm repeating the same line again. V'lo haskaras shame, and there's no mention of Hashem's name. V'lo kinui, or one of the nicknames of Hashem. It doesn't matter. As long as you say, these fruits are prohibited to me, that's all you got to say. This is what the Torah had in mind when it said, quote, le'esor isor, to create a prohibition al nafshu upon himself. So he just has to verbalize a prohibition about himself. And therefore, the critical component is that he makes it now prohibited with the vow. It wasn't prohibited beforehand. She yes or alatsmo dvar mamaturim. He prohibits things now upon himself, things that were before now permitted. Vehein imam are similarly, if you use a language similar to this, the first language we said these things are asurim to me, because hare heim olai isur. If they are upon me, isor forbidden, because that's the way the Torah writes, le esor isor. They're prohibited to him. And this is the first two categories. I give it the terminology, and we will call it from now on Nidre Isor, a vow that generates a prohibition on oneself or on others. That is the one category of the two, and that's the one the Rambam is going to be talking about in Hilchos Nedarim. However, he will tell us what the second one is, so we just should know what the second type of vow is, Beis. V'chelek hasheni, the second type of vow, hu sheyachayev atzmo b'korban sheinachayevo, if he obliges himself in an animal offering that he would not normally be obliged in. Now, there's many different types of offerings, and some you are obliged in. Right. That's not a vow. The Torah already says you have to bring it. But if a person did not have to, kigon sheyomer, let's say he says, Hare olai lahavi olai, now bring upon myself to bring an ola. That's totally voluntary offering. Oh, hare olai lahavi shlomim, I want to bring a shlomim offering. Oh, mincha, a mincha offering. Or he says, hare, this is if I accept upon myself, I have to bring one. That's an obligation on himself to do it. Or hare behema zu ola o shlomim, or this animal I'm pointing to is an ola or a shlomim. All right, that's including that. The home person says hare olai. Now, what's the difference between hare olai and hare zu? He said when a person says hare olai, it is upon me hu anikra neder. That's called a neder, which we just cannot translate in English anymore. Because it won't be, there's no English counterpart for the next term. V'omer harezo, when you say this animal is an ola, hu anikra nidava. That's called a nidava. In English, they'd be both translated as vows. A neder is a vow, nidava is a vow. But there is a difference, and we're going to explain the difference. One is where he's obliging himself, that he's saying that I'm generating an obligation upon myself to bring a korban, versus saying this animal is the korban. V'hanedava v'haneder mimenecharu. Even though a nedava and a neder are of the same category, but the difference is, elashahanedorim, when you make a neder on a korban, chayovim v'achriyusum, you have responsibility to replace them. Let's say I generate upon myself an obligation to bring an ola offering. Now he takes an animal and says, okay, this is going to be the animal. And now it's, the animal dies. He still has to get another animal because he obliged upon himself to bring an ola offering. However, nedavos, if he says, this animal is an ola, that's a nedava. Ein chayom rachiyosum, you're not responsible. That animal dies, that's it. It was only on that. And the Torah refers to this type of vows. It says, unidorecha, and vows, asher tidor, which you will make as a neder, or v'nidvosecha, or a nedava. V'chelek said, and this second category of vows, hushanikar, I call them nidre hektish, vows of hektish, where he vows to make something for hektish. So we've got nidre isur. Now, Nidre Isor has nothing to do with Hektish in it, and he has nothing. He only plans on prohibiting it upon himself. These are Nidre Hektish, which means they go to Hektish. Now, Gimel tells you the parameters here. V'dine Achela Karishim V'yano, and the laws of this first category of vows, which are Nidre Isor, Heim shonim avarim b'halchus al, and this is what's going to be in Hilchus Nedarim. The entire Hilchus Nedarim, all 13 chapters, are going to talk about this type of neder. Avol dinei nidrei hektishu mishpatim, but the laws of a neder for something that you're consecrating, and their laws, kulam yisbar b'mkom v'digam yisrin, in their place, b'hilchus maser karbonos, in the laws of maser karbonos, which is sefer avoda, which we still have the other third to do. Okay. Now the Rama has given you the general parameters of what a neder is. He's divided up into two categories, nidre yisur and nidre hektish. Nidre hektish is further subcategories into nidorim and nidavos, which we're not going to talk about in the near future, but we're only going to focus on nidre yisur. Dalet. Mitzvas aseh shel Torah, it's a biblical commandment, sheyekayim adam shvuoso o nidro, a person must fulfill his oath or his vow, bein shahayim inidre yisur, doesn't matter if it's a vow of prohibition upon himself, bein shahayim inidre hegdish, doesn't matter if it's a vow to make something consecrated. You got to keep your word. Shenemers, it says, motzei svasecha tishmor, that which comes out of your lips you will guard, vasisa kasher nadart, and you'll do as you have vowed. That's the mitzvah's asay. The Nemari brings another pasuk. Second time the Torah says it, "Kechol ayotze mepiv yaseh," everything that comes out of your mouth, you shall do. It's not a separate mitzvah; it's just repeated. I don't know why, but the Torah repeats it. Okay, now we get into the details of how this works exactly. Hey, ha'osar al atzmo min mimineh achol. If a person prohibits upon himself one type of food, Kigon Shomer, for example, he says, "Te'enim." Asure alai. Figs are prohibited to me. Straight out. O te'enim shel medina plonis asur alai. Or figs from a particular country are prohibited to me. O te'enim eli. Or these figs that are right in front of me on the table. Asur alai prohibited to me. Ukuyayitzabel are any similar vows like this. And then, careful now. Ve'achol mehen kol shehu. If you eat any amount of these figs that he prohibited, like mina Torah, you got lashed biblically, shenemer, because it's a lav. It says lo yachel dvaro, you shall not make your words mundane, and that's a chilul on his words. And more than that, what did the Rambam not say? Did he say how much you had to eat? No. When we learned before by Shavuos, we said you had to have a share of kazayas.
Yeah.
Here, you don't have to have that. She'ein l'nedorim shiur. Wow. There's no amount by Nedorim that you have a certain shear like other ones. Why? Because Shekohan Noider Midover, whenever you make a vow from something and you don't use an expression of eating, it's not the same as a person makes a vow, he says, I will not eat this. He says, they're usser to me. That's a different expression.
Yeah.
These are usser. Okay? So therefore, hareza kimaforesh kolshu. It's as if he explicitly said even the smallest amount. Right? If he would say that eating them is prohibited for me, then we know he's connecting it to the sheer of achila. But by saying it's usher to me, that means even the smallest amount.
Benefiting too.
Well, any benefit. Well, the only way you benefit from food is by eating it.
No, selling them.
Well, I guess you couldn't either. We'll see. Those are details we'll get into. But on the other hand, Omar, what if he says, Achila mi peres medina ploni sasur in lai? What if he says, we'll make up an English word now, an eating's worth from fruits of this country are prohibited to me. O achilas mi peres elo, or eating from these fruits is also to me. Ein alokat shechol kazayas, you have to eat a kazayas. So it depends how he words it. Now comes a very interesting chiluk in Vav between Nedarim and Shavuos, where we're going to find a halacha now by Neder, which is the opposite by Shavuos, and we're going to need an explanation to it. Asar alatzma achila min hata'enim ve'achila min anovim. Guy prohibited himself through a vow eating of figs and eating of grapes. Okay, now he said eating's worth, so you need a kazayas. Now the question is, how much do you got to eat to be chayiv? Bein b'neder echad, regardless if it was in one neder, he says, I vow that I'm prohibiting an eating's worth of figs and grapes. Doesn't matter if he says it that way. Bein b'shnei nedarim, or whether he makes two separate vows. I vow I will not have an eating's worth of figs. And then he says, I vow to not have an eating's worth of grapes. Either way, hare elu mitstarfim l'ksayis. You can add them both to aksayis. Meaning, if you even have only half aksayis of each, it equals a full aksayis. V'chein kogvis, anything like that, which is not the halacha by shavuos. We learned when you make a shavuos, I swear that by Hashem's name I will not eat it. There, if you made two different oaths, it's two different oaths, and you'd have to have a kazayas from either one to be chayiv, and if you have a kazayas from both, you'd be chayiv twice. Here, we're saying no, that you're chayiv if you have a kazayas of either any one of them or a combination of them, it's one. And what's the difference? The difference is, when you're making an oath, the oath is on figs, and it's one oath on figs. You're saying that figs are, I will not eat figs. Then you make a separate statement, I will not eat grapes. It's two separate statements. However, when you make a neder, it's different. When you're saying, this is usher to me, so now why is that fig usher to you? It's usher because I've put it in the domain of isur. It's isur because of a neder. It has nothing to do that it's a vow that I will not eat it. It's now it's like a mushel, but not exactly the same thing. It's like you're saying, this fig is treif. Okay? So now I'm saying it's treif. Now it's not exactly treif, but it's prohibited to eat. Why is it prohibited? As the result of a vow. Mm-hmm. So now it doesn't matter what you're prohibiting upon yourself. It's this. It's a category of an item that's prohibited because of a vow. So now it's like vow-osser. Instead of going chazer, it's vow-osser. So if you take different foods, they're all vow-ossered. And that's all. So it doesn't matter what it is. While an oath is different. Swearing is, I will not eat that grape. So now grapes are osser to me. Not that I've changed the grape into something that's osser, but it's an oath that I won't eat it. So vows are different, that it becomes one cumulative overall thing, that it's osser because the vow made it osser. And that's it. So not any type of food can combine for that. Okay. Now, the next halacha in Zion, it's going to talk about if you want to say something is like a korban to you. Which means to say it's a type of a vow, and you want to say it's usher to me, and you're using it insofar as that I want it to be treated like a korban. And therefore, we know when you make something a korban, it's usher to you. You can't have it conventionally. But we have to remember, it has to agree with the original rule that we stated, which is that it has to be something that had you not said something is totally permitted to you, and now by what you say, you're making it prohibited. So now you can't catch on examples, let's say, of things that are already prohibited to you already. For example, we'll see this shortly, you can't say, this food to me should be like chazer. That will not be an acceptable oath. It's not a valid oath because chazer is already usher. You've got to say it's usher because of the vow, period. And it's not like something that's already usher. Because when that's already usher, is usher. So you have to say, this is usher to me as a vow. Or usher to me as something that is normally permitted to me, and now I can make it usher. Like treif, it's not up to me to make it usher. The Torah has always made it usher. So I can't use a language of vow to catch on to be like that. But let's say there's something else that is permitted to me, that I can make it usher to me, and I want the vow to work like that. So there are types of korbanos, for example, where it's permitted to me, and I don't have to give it, and I can choose to make it usher to me because of the fact that I'm making this korban, as we will see. Ha'omar peres alai, elu alai korban. These fruits that I have, I want them to be usher to me like a korban. Now he doesn't ex, he doesn't say the word kik korban, but it's the same thing. Oshomer harei heim kik korban, or he says it is like a korban. Oshomer lechaver, or he says to his friend, koma she'ochel imcha, whatever I want, would want to eat with you. He's going to prohibit his friend's food upon him. Olai korban, it's a korban to me. O kik korban, or like a korban. O harei heim olai kik korban. Same thing, all these are like a korban. So he doesn't want to eat. He's saying what his friend has is like a korban to him. Hare elu asur malav. They're prohibited to him. Why? Share she'efshir she'yidu orim korban. Because a person is able to make a vow and make something a korban. And now by making it a korban, v'yasa behemesh shahay sechol, this animal that was a mundane animal, by the fact that you made it a korban, korban v'teyaser, it becomes prohibited. So you're grabbing on to something that was vowable, as it were. The animal was a mundane animal, and now by making it a korban, it's now prohibited to me. And I could choose to make it a korban for me. But we're going to see it's not going to work with every type. We'll see with what korbanos it would work. Because some korbanos, you don't have a choice. But we'll see that is all coming up shortly. On the other hand, ches, Avala Omer Peres Elu Olai, these fruits upon me, O min ploni or someone else upon me, O masha ochal umplomi, or what I will eat by somebody. Right? Kibsar chazir, it's like chazir meat. O kavodazora, or it's like someone who has worshipped idol worship with it. O kinevelis, or like an avela, or a trefa, kiyetzva, like that. Hare elu mutarim, they're permitted because the vow never took hold. Ve'ein kan neider, there is no vow. She efshir she aser dover she'enu besar chazir kibsar chazir. You can't make something that's not chazir like chazir, because the isser of chazir is not up to your mouth to say it's usser. They're usser because Hashem made them usser. Chazir is not what we call a dover hanodur, something you can make a vow. Rather, it's a dover ha'usser. And therefore, the Torah says, Ish ki yidor neder l'Hashem. Someone makes a vow to make it usser. You have to make something vowed on something that's vowable, not something that's already usser. And trying to grab on an expression of something that's already usher to you from beforehand. This is the essential rule of a neder. You can only take something that is absolutely permitted to you, and it's what you're saying makes it usher. Now, if you want to borrow languages, grab onto a language and make it like something else, well, a korban, which is an animal, the animal was permitted to you, so when I make a vow to make the animal a korban, that's something that comes from my vow. So I want this fruit to be like a korban that works the same way. But if I want my fruit that's permitted to be like chazer, well, chazer was also before I even opened up my mouth. So then it's like, it doesn't work. And now he gives us a general rule, a halacha test that takes us even a step further, that will lead us even into yud. Zach Lau, this is the golden rule. If you take things that are, you want to make things that are permitted, and you want to make them like prohibited things, you want to grab it onto a prohibited things, it depends what type of prohibited thing you're trying to grab onto. If the thing you want to make it like is usur, is yochol lasos mener, you could have voluntarily made an oath on it as well, like the korban. In other words, I want this fruit to be like a korban. And just like a korban, I can make it usher on myself, so I want this fruit to make it usher. So now these things are usher by grabbing onto that. But if you can't make that thing a neder, because it's already usher like chazir, and you want to grab onto such an expression, Hare elu mutarim, those foods are mutter, and the vow does not grab on to that. We'll go into more detail tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. We got a good start.